What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.
Welcome aboard to Cruise Radio, your home port for everything cruising and more. Subscribe to our newsletter and weekly radio show at cruiseradio.net.
All right. Thank you so much for checking us out. Cruise Radio, in only a few short months, we've got over 3,000 subscribers to our weekly show, and we really do appreciate it. This week, we'll talk to frequent cruiser on Holland America, Dr. Steve Guiland. Weekly contributor Scott Laura talks to us about sailing out of Port Canaveral, Florida. In cruise news, find out why so many ships had delayed departures on the Gulf Coast. But first, 2010 is literally right around the corner, which means it's time to start booking your summer vacations. Stuart Sheeran, the cruise guy, joins us to talk about 2010 cruise trends. He's a regular contributor on CNBC, CNN, and ABC's Good Morning America. Stuart, since this is your first time here on Cruise Radio, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I've been in the business for almost 21 years. I've done 148 cruises, sailed all over the world on, you know, I've seen just about every ship out there, and I enjoy sharing the tips and deals to help save consumers money and make sure they're on the right ships at the right price and not getting too, you know, caught up in the, let's call it the sensationalism that's out there, because each ship is different. Buying a cruise is like buying a car.
What can we expect in 2010? What kind of trends will we be seeing cruise-wise?
Well, 2010 will debut some new larger ships. We just saw Oasis of the Seas come out in December 1st of 2009. Its sister ship, Allure of the Seas, will come out same time in 2010. NCL will be coming out with their largest ship ever, the Norwegian Epic, in June of 2010. So there'll be some more ships departing out of Florida. And essentially what that does is it really puts a little pressure on pricing. And at this point, with the amount of passengers sailing, that it actually could bring the pricing down or keep it down for consumers, which, you know, being here in Florida, it certainly saves people a lot of money when they can, you know, go on a Caribbean cruise, when you can find deals, especially like in the fall, from, you know, $399 or $499, and heading into the winter months, you know, starting in the $599 range. But also you have, you know, this time of year, Panama Canal sailings. You've got the partial transits out of Florida, which will take you into Gatun Lake and take in through the first set of the Panama Canal locks, and then turn around and come back out, which alleviates the headaches of having to do one-way airfare. Or their actual full transits, which will get you from Florida to California or back. And, you know, now also people are looking to doing some winter cruising in the Mediterranean, the Baltic cruises to the northern capitals. This is definitely not the time of year, but the Mediterranean, specifically the Western Mediterranean, has developed into more of a year-round destination. It may be a little cooler than what some people may expect in the summer, but sailing around Greece and Italy and Turkey in the middle of January, February, and March, while the kids are in school, certainly helps keep pricing down. I mean, there are times when, I mean, you can get a 12-night cruise with two nights hotel in Barcelona, for example, where you could find pricing as low as about $1,799, including your airfare, let's say from Jacksonville, two nights in Barcelona, and a 12-night cruise. And the nice part about those types of cruises is that they may very well include itineraries that have not only Turkey and Italy, but also Egypt, as they'll maybe spend an overnight in Alexandria, Egypt, so you can go visit the pyramids in Cairo and Giza.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, cruising is the best bang for your buck.
Look, I wholeheartedly agree with you, and, you know, it eliminates the hassles of packing, unpacking, checking out of hotels,
yeah,
waiting in airports, and you're not waking up in the same boring place each day.
Back to the trends, it's interesting because the trend seems to be bigger ships now. Royal Caribbean's Oasis of the Seas, as you mentioned, the Carnival Dream. Yet, some regular cruisers that I've talked to seem to prefer the smaller ships. My question is, do you see people booking on the Oasis? Are they buying into the hype, or are they just waiting to see the dust settle and see what happens and the reviews?
Well, let's say it's all of the above.
Okay.
But I will tell you, Oasis is more than what you may have heard. The ship is really a fabulous ship, and I'm not saying that, look, I was, you know, knocked over, but it just defies every ship design that you may have ever seen. There's nothing really, you know, there's nothing in the world like this ship, and the different types of activities and the venues and the amenities and the experience that it provides. There is not another ship in the world that can provide that kind of an experience. I was just on again this past Saturday, and you know, it was quite full. I haven't gotten the actual numbers yet, but I mean, the ship, you know, with the different types of the restaurants, and it's about options. And you know, each time the industry brought in a new ship, you know, it's kind of the same thing. You hear, well, you know, they brought the shops out into the open, and if you know, some people feel like you're being, you know, turned upside down and shaken for everything you got. The beauty of the ships, when they broke out of the mold from the 77,000 ton range up to the 100,000 tons and up to 140, was that the more passengers they were able to put on the ship, the more profitable it became for them. And what they were able to do is make the experience more customizable by the passengers, meaning you had a larger spa, which means more people could enjoy the different facilities within the spa. There's certainly the pay areas, and there's also better facilities just for people that don't want to pay, meaning you have better gym equipment, you know, better exercise equipment with all the latest technology. And it's nicer because, you know, as a passenger, you have the option to choose what you want. Now, Princess started with Haagen-Dazs and Royal Caribbean, and you know, furthered that with Ben and Jerry's. You know, some people became incensed by having to pay for ice cream. Well, they do offer self-serve ice cream. You can eat as much of that as you want, but there are people that would like to have a premium for ice cream, and so they charge a few dollars for it.
I was just going to ask, as far as mentioning the massive size of the Oasis and their need to fill those cabins, is that going to drive down the prices in the market with the other cruise lines?
Well, the good news is it has not at this time. It's having a completely opposite effect that Freedom of the Seas had when she debuted in 06, where it did cannibalize the pricing on other cruise lines. The prices right now on the other cruise lines are no different today than they were before Oasis would have arrived, or let's say they're out of the norm.
Right.
I mean, to give you an idea, just, you know, let's say a kind of a look at the first quarter pricing. Now, the average price, if you took all 12 of the first quarter sailings, January, February, and March, the average price just to get on Oasis at that point was $1,491. Emerald Princess, sailing out of Fort Lauderdale, doing seven night, you know, Caribbean, had an average starting price of $699, which means that you'd have to pay 113% more just to get on Oasis.
Man.
But again, it's like there are people that will spend $5,000 over list price to get on the newest, to get the newest flashiest car.
Right.
And this is the newest flashiest ship. There's nothing that can compete. Now, keep in mind, some people were, oh my God, this ship is 40% bigger than the three Freedom class ships, the Freedom, Liberty, and Independence of the Seas. And Independence was actually docked right next door. And I mean, it's a noticeable difference in size. But it doesn't feel significantly larger, which was really a good thing. And when you're inside the Central Park area, and you have, instead of an inside room, you have balconies actually overlooking Central Park. You have balconies overlooking the boardwalk. And those cabins are actually priced higher than the Ocean View.
Hmm.
Now, personally, I'd go with the Ocean View 10 out of 10 times. But the beauty is that there are options, and the larger the ship, the more they can offer the passengers so that they can enjoy their vacation their way, not the regimented way that you know, maybe, you know, of years past. And I mean, dining has taken an enormous evolutionary process since MCL essentially kind of came out with freestyle dining almost 10 years ago, and it's no longer the regimentation of first and second seating. The only real scheduled times for the meals is really dinner, because breakfast and lunch, people are eating on their own. They're eating in the different types of restaurants, eating in the pizzerias, And that's the beauty of what cruising is. It's offering you, the passenger, the flexibility.
Lastly, what are the hot deals out right now?
I'd certainly say I'd look at Hawaii. One of my favorite places in the world to cruise is definitely Hawaii. And NCL's got the only U.S.-flagged ship out there doing seven-night, which will get you from Honolulu to Hilo, Maui, where you get two days, Kona, and you get an overnight in Kauai, which essentially gives you 2 days. Now, the nice thing is, because it's U.S.-flagged and registered, it doesn't have to visit a foreign port. So it gets you 85 hours of port time, where if you did a two-week cruise from the West Coast, you're only going to get about 52 hours of port time. And I know there's a lot of airfare sales. So, I mean, I've seen cruising from as low as $1,299, which includes one night in Honolulu. But, you know, Carnival Dream, I mean, we're seeing pricing from as low out of Canaveral from $659. You know, the Crown Princess out of Fort Lauderdale's pricing from as low as $499. The Norwegian Jade is probably one of my favorite deals, which was that 12-night Mediterranean that I mentioned that goes from Barcelona, goes to Rome, Athens, Ephesus, which you go into the port of Izmir, you get an overnight in Alexandria, Egypt, so you go see the pyramids in Giza, and Valletta, Malta. I mean, $1,799, 12-night cruise, 2 nights hotel in Barcelona, air from Jacksonville. It's a great deal. You know, Celebrity Solstice is probably one of my favorite ships. It's the ship that just kind of came out and knocked the premium market on its side last November. There's nothing in the market. There's nothing in the Princess and Holland America fleets that can compete with it. They've got $849 per person for a seven-night cruise. And, guys, that's for a balcony cabin. 85% of the cabins on Celebrity Solstice have verandas. And they have, it goes to the Eastern Caribbean out of Lauderdale. It goes to San Juan, St. Martin, Tortola, Virgin Gorda, and Royal Caribbean's private beach in Labadee, Haiti, or San Juan, St. Kitts, and St. Martin. But it's 122,000 tons. It's only got 2,850 passengers. But, I mean, overall, I mean, as far as getting a balcony, $849 for the winter months on that caliber of a ship is really, I think, is one of my favorite deals out there right now.
Very good. Stuart Sheeran is the Cruise Guy. You can find him at cruiseguy.com or follow him on Twitter at Cruise Guy. Stuart, thank you so much, man.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Congratulations to listeners Kelly Roberts, Derek Talbot, Jared Brown, and Kim Daly. They were all winners in our 12 Days of Cruisemas contest. For future giveaways, log on to cruiseradio.net. Joining me now is Dr. Steve Guiland, Jacksonville pediatrician for over 50 years. And he and his wife, Rose, have over 700 days on Holland America Line. Dr. Guiland, welcome to Cruise Radio.
Wonderful to be with you.
700 days is a lot of fun.
Isn't it, though?
Were these like world cruises, or were these some of the just smaller cruises all added up together?
Both. We started our cruising seriously the first time I retired. I'm still working, but at first I thought I was retiring, and we had a pocket full of money, so we went around the world. 120 days on the old Rotterdam.
Good grief.
Voyage of it.
That is a lot of time to be on a cruise ship.
Yeah, and my wife and I found that we were really best friends.
How many ports are there on a world cruise like that?
We would hit a different port about every other day.
At any point, really, you didn't find yourself going nuts?
Oh, no. We would have kept going if we could have.
Wow.
But the ports were nice. Some of them would stay 2 or 3 days at, like Hong Kong or in Egypt, but most of them are just 1 day for each port.
Tell me, Doctor, what would you say that the best thing about sailing on Holland America is?
The pampering, really. The gorgeous facilities, the decor, and the way everybody treats you so nicely after every little want or things you don't know that you want.
Have you experienced many other cruise lines, Carnival, Royal Caribbean?
Oh, yes. We've been on most of them, and we enjoy cruising on just about all of them, except Costa. I don't think we care. We wouldn't go back on that one for free.
Which one was that one?
Costa.
Oh, yeah.
The Italian line.
What's wrong with them?
Two things. The attitude of the people, this serving people. Like, I told a waiter, I'd like some salt, and he said, it's over there.
Oh, boy.
Instead of getting it for me, you know. That would never happen on Holland America or even most of the other cruise lines.
I don't think that would happen anywhere.
And the other thing is, so many of the passengers don't speak English.
Right.
It's hard to strike up a conversation with somebody because I'm a gregarious person. I like to chat with people.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't speak the English. But another thing about Holland America is the kind of people that go on it. They're mostly very friendly, interesting people to get to know.
And I understand it's a little bit of an older demo, so there you're not going to find a lot of screaming kids running around, not so many families so much.
Right. It is more older, and one of the things we love about it very much is the ballroom dancing type.
Ah.
We found the best dancing facilities on Holland America as compared with any of the other lines.
Mm-hmm.
Now, being elderly, I have 50 years practice in Jacksonville, gives you some idea how old I am. I don't really care to go climbing a rock wall or surfing in a surfing machine.
Right.
But my wife and I do love dancing, and they have the best music and the best floors of any of the lines that we've been on. And the food is a cut above any of the other lines.
Now, Doc, are all the dinners formal dining?
No, about one out of three is a formal night where you wear a tux or a dark suit. And, of course, if you don't want to do that, you can eat in the Lido deck and have good food there, too.
And how about the entertainment?
That's one of the nice things about Holland America. Their entertainment is very, very good and very, very clean. They avoid the risque entertainers that are so common on other lines. The magicians, the comedians, keep their acts very clean and family-friendly.
Yeah.
And we're Christians. We like clean entertainment. You can be funny without being vulgar.
That is true.
Yeah.
Now, Doctor, just because Holland America is geared towards an older demo and you won't see a lot of families with screaming kids on board, is that to say you won't see any children on board?
No, there are a good many families, and they have a good entertainment program for the kids.
Right.
The kids are off doing their thing with good supervision.
But they're a minority.
They're a minority.
Yeah.
But they're well-behaved, and they have so much entertainment for the kids, they don't really distract from the fun of the senior citizens that are on board. But we just like the variety.
Dr. Steve Guiland, thank you so much for sharing your Holland America experience with us. God bless you, and hope you can come talk to us again.
Be glad to.
This is Cruise Radio with over 3,000 subscribers in just the few short months we've been in existence. We absolutely encourage you to sign up for our newsletter to keep abreast of everything that's going on in the cruise world. And of course, if you missed any part of the show or want to hear more, log on now to cruiseradio.net. And this is your cruise news. Holland America's Rotterdam returned to service last week after a 28-day stay at the Grand Bahama Shipyard for an extensive refit of all the current Signature of Excellence elements. The Port of Baltimore is relatively new to the cruise business, and this is their first winter season having a weekly cruise ship operation thanks to Carnival Cruise Lines, designating the city as their first northern year-round port. Heavy fog along the Gulf Coast wreaked havoc on cruise ships trying to get out of the ports of Galveston, Tampa, and Mobile. The ships that were delayed upwards of a day were the Carnival Fantasy, Carnival Inspiration, and the Royal Caribbean's Voyager of the Seas. Forget Las Vegas. The place to be next in November if you're an Elvis fan is once again on a Carnival cruise ship. The King of Rock and Roll, or at least a number of people who look remarkably like him, is making another appearance on the high seas next year as Carnival hosts a fourth Elvis cruise. A four-night, all-Elvis, all-the-time extravaganza. The voyage will take place on the 2,052-passenger Carnival Fascination as it sails out of Jacksonville, Florida to the Bahamas November 4th, 2010. And that is your cruise news. Cruise Radio is based in Jacksonville, Florida, so Port Canaveral is right in our backyard. Lobbyist and frequent cruiser Scott Laura talks to us about sailing out of Port Canaveral. Scott, what do you like about it?
There's several reasons why I like it so much. It's close by. We're here in Jacksonville, Florida. That's our home base, about 2.5 hours away. If you live in the Orlando area, if you're flying into Orlando, about 1.5 hours, just straight across. Great parking there. You have the covered garage, so your car is protected. There's also, you know, land-based parking there if you're going to park out there. Lots of handicap spots for those folks, the senior citizens. But, you know, I've been on the Monarch so many times out of Port Canaveral. Just very easy to get in, very easy to get out.
Are there any hotels in the Canaveral area that you can actually park and not have to pay at the pier?
The Country Inns and Suites, less than 2 miles away from the cruise port there. You can actually see the ships right outside the front of the hotel. Great pool. They got a great breakfast there. They have an internet area where if you need to jump on the internet real quick. The people are great. When you walk in, you feel like you're part of a family. And it's clean. That's the one thing my wife always looks at. If it's a bathroom on I-95 South or at a hotel, is clean bathrooms. And
well,
that's
it's relatively new. They've just kind of built it, what?
2006, I believe.
Yeah. And you don't have to sell us on it. We stayed there, man. It's awesome. Yeah. Very it's, clean.
It's
very nice.
Very clean. Great people there.
Regular
great
shuttles.
Right. Regular shuttles that are taking you right from, you know, the door there to the cruise ship. So you're not, you know, having to, you know, drag all your stuff around. The guys are really great. And to save that parking, you know, if you spend a night there or a couple nights there, you're going to get free parking, which is a great deal.
What else do you find interesting about Port Canaveral?
Besides it being close and that it's very easy to get in and out of, there's a lot of interesting facts that I found out. Canaveral is the second busiest cruise port in the world for multi-day cruises. Over 4 million passengers sail annually from Port Canaveral. And they have three major cruise terminals, you know, for the major cruise lines. And then there's three other terminals for the casino boat cruises. And as I said before, getting in and out of there fast, that's the deal. Because if you're running late, you need to get on the ship, it's easy in, easy off.
One thing we need to mention, too, about Port Canaveral is the awesome restaurants right there.
Oh, yeah.
Across from the pier. We went to Fish Lips,
yeah.
Which and there's, that's just one of many restaurants there.
Well, it's also cool because if you're being dropped off by friends or family, they can sit and have drinks and appetizers and wave to you and watch you sail out as we did with your parents, Doug. It was really cool. You could actually see them. They were aboard the Carnival Dream, which is massive. But you were able to see them pretty clearly at the very, very top. And I wasn't aware that when Disney Cruise Line sails out, their horn, or what do you call it? Is it a horn?
Yeah, their horn. When you wish upon a star, it plays. It's really
it actually cool. plays. It's instead of a... It's a regular...
Just like that.
Exactly. Only louder and better. That's more like it. Oh, boy. All right, back on track. Scott, when was the last time you sailed out of Port Canaveral?
You know, just down there back in November, I went there with my wife, Marty, with several friends. Just had a great time. Nice being able to leave Jacksonville, head down there. Not that 6 or 7 hour drive to Fort Lauderdale. Love Fort Lauderdale. Love going out of there. But Port Canaveral is close by. Another thing I want to touch on real quick are the ships that are sailing out of there. The Disney Magic, the Disney Wonder, Royal Caribbean, as I just mentioned, you got the Monarch, and you got the Freedom of the Seas. And, of course, the Freedom, they got over 3,000 passengers on there. And, of course, you have the Carnival Sensation and Dream. So you have a range of ships, a range of prices. You have family with kids, you're going to hit the Disney, you're going to have fun. If you're a younger group or you have some maybe older kids, you're going to have Royal Caribbean. And, of course, you got Carnival there for the young wild group.
Lobbyist and frequent cruiser Scott Laura. Scotty, thank you so much for being with us. And, of course, we can find you at
jacksbloggers.com.
Coming up next week, we'll talk to Stuart, the cruise guy, about booking your cruises. You can find him at cruiseguy.com. And we'll talk to Suzanne of cruisetalk.org about celebrity cruise lines. Be sure to sign up for our newsletter to stay dialed in to everything in the cruise world. And subscribe to our weekly show on iTunes or at cruiseradio.net. For founder Doug Parker, I'm host Matt Bassford, and this is Cruise Radio.